Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. And welcome everybody on the radio, on the stream, on the phone, and here in the room. Sabbath blessings to all. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence, as you always do when we gather in your name. We thank you for blessing everybody on the prayer list, everybody that's doing the work all around the world. Thank you for the hedge of angels that you always have about them, giving them what they need to go day by day to proclaim this truth unto many. And thank you for giving us the courage, the strength, the faith, the wisdom, the love, and the meekness, because the truth is hated. We saw how they attacked all the patriarchs and prophets of old, even Luther, Miller, everybody that came up with the truth. They were always ridiculed and persecuted, and many were actually killed. And so thank you for giving us the strength to stand firm regardless. And thank you for blessing everybody on the prayer list that's in need of salvation and physical healings as well. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. We love you, we trust you, and we thank you for accepting our prayers in the name of your precious Son, our Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just realized my cat is in here again. And hopefully she doesn't decide to get playful.
You want the cat out?
No, she's over here by the shelf, the windowsill. So you might get a PM, Fran, for Matthew and Dan. Their addresses for the books. And those of you on the stream or on the radio or even the phone, if you want the books, just... she might want to go out now, Fran. She just jumped off the windowsill. But anyway, if you want the books, go to the Contact Us page on remnantofgod.org. In other words, just go to remnantofgod.org. I'm not going to spell out the whole URL because it's a PHP thing and it's all kind of goofy. And so, just go to the main page and there's a blue bar that has all the menus. And on the extreme right side, it says Contact. Click that and then you know where to go from there, obviously. Okay, so continuing this week with the candlestick, we need in the sanctuary, because for those of you that are new on the stream or on the radio, we are in the midst of, and I'd say we're about the middle. We're about the middle now that I look at my my sources here, where I got my little clips and stuff in regards to some of these old books. But we're in about the middle. And so if it took us a year, we got another year to go. I don't know how long ago I started this, but by continuing with the sanctuary study that we've been in for all this time, we're still going to be on the candlestick this week to some extent. And we need to understand that when we go into the holy place, because that's the, if you look at the sanctuary itself, you got the one doorway on the eastern side, and there's a reason it's on the eastern side. There's only the one door. Is because as a Christian, or even as Jesus Christ himself, walking through the sanctuary, that's one giant prophecy. But then when Jesus does it, and when we do it, it's one giant obedient act of accepting him as Lord and Savior, all the way up until the point that we gain home. We get to live with the Father, the Son, with the Holy Spirit within. And so right now we're in the holy place. It's only got two apartments. You got the holy place and the most holy place, obviously. And we're in the holy place, the first department, or apartment, actually. And we're coming up, like when we step up to that golden candlestick, because we already did the showbread a couple of months ago, I think, or a month ago. And we're actually coming to a place that makes us understand the need to go forth as we are sanctified to doing the Lord as Christians. Jesus called it the Great Commission. Well, I think all the preachers of the last 2,000 years called it the Great Commission. That's not in the Bible as far as I remember. So anyway, not only does it, just standing in front of the candlestick, not only does it move us to a place try to get on as many rungs of the ladder, towards Christ, the perfection in Christ, because we're seeking unto that divine nature. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we know the candlestick actually represents his word, which is a light onto our path. It also moves us to share the light of his truth with everybody that he sends our way. And that is what we are sanctified to do the very moment we accept Jesus as Savior. That's why all those preachers over the last 2,000 years called it the Great Commission. And then that's not the same commission that you get like when you're in sales. No. You know, you do this freely. And, you know, it's, I guess you could say there's some sort of commission at the end of it when you get the stars on your crown. But they're going to, those stars are only there because Christ asked you to do something and you were obedient to it. Because you're going to put that crown at his feet anyway the first day you meet him in the city. So, and no, I am not saying the babe in Christ is to step up to a pulpit either and preach a sermon or present a study as they are still on the milk of his word. But they can immediately present what Jesus did for them to all their loved ones because they have an absolute experience in the matter and they can explain it easily as they saw it happen with their very own eyes. You know, I mean, look at Legion. You know, one minute he's possessed by 2,000 demons. The next minute he goes into the city that asked Jesus to leave because they were afraid because all those pigs died. They asked Jesus to leave. They wanted him to get out of the area. They didn't like what was going on. Legion goes in there, shares with them what he witnessed, you know, his testimony. And the next time Jesus was in the area, they insisted he come. So everything was good there. And so you can be used of God even if you're a babe. Yeah, so do it. And another thing we need to understand is the importance of studying the Word daily. If any of you listening have ever stopped studying His Word for any length of time, you know how your walk falters almost immediately. And the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as Ephesians 4:13 describes it, falls short of its mark upon our hearts. And we literally fall off the well-lit path and start to experience, you know, confusing problems in life. You know, I can recall many emails and phone calls from people who were confused as to why their life has become a mess to the point of losing faith in certain areas, to even losing jobs. And when this happens, I know to ask them, when was the last time you read the Word? And 100% of the time, 100% of the time, they admit it has been days, weeks, and sometimes even months. That's scary. I don't know. I can't go a day. I can't. There hasn't been a day, and I praise His name for that, too. I mean, there's some times that we've had emergencies, and me and Fran had to zip out of the house, you know, with sleep in our eyes still, you know. But I always grab my Bible, and she does, too. Well, now we got it on our phones, but I grab my tablet because I got all my notes and stuff. And sometime during that day, my first opportunity, because it's happened a couple times, and I was able to get to the Word, go some quiet place, and just read. Got to have it every day, every single solitary day. It's a real blessing. And as is obvious by now, you know, for most that have found Christ as Lord, it is not enough to be born again by His Word. We need to study it daily. You know, just as a newborn babe, you know, needs its milk. A lot of people think, by just reading the Word one time, let's say, you know, because I've heard people say, "Oh, I've read the Bible," and that's not studying. You know, anybody can read the Bible. Atheists do it all the time. You know, to try to slam it. But we need to be in it daily. And that's the reason for the candlestick in the sanctuary. I mean, even babes eventually get off the milk to dine on the meat of His Word. I mean, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 says that as newborn babes, we, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, or wait, they desired the sincere miracle of the world that they might grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. In other words, you can see how your life is changing and how He's helping you in this area and that area. And a lot of the areas are private, you know, a lot of areas where we all struggle privately. And He's amazing there. I mean, that's the first thing you always notice. And then Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head and even Christ. And so it is fitting that the candlestick brings light into the temple just as much as our temples bring light unto those that the Lord sends our way. And I like the way Paul mentions here in regards to how a lot of babes in Christ are tossed, carried about by every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. With their cunning craftiness, you know, they lie in wait to deceive. I mean, case in point, look at the world today. 44,000 different denominations of Christianity. Because all these false preachers out there are out there lying in wait to deceive. Satan's using them. That's his army. And, you know, as soon as somebody finds the Lord Jesus, I mean, look at Catholicism. Case in point there, that's big time bad when you think about what they do. I mean, that always shocked me even as a kid. Because I was raised Catholic, and I thought, because I was kind of a religious kid, right? We all were. We were a devout family. And my mom, even, she was somewhat of a seamstress, and she made me a priest's outfit, and she made nun outfits for my sisters and stuff, and my brothers were altar boys and all this stuff, and wondered if I would be a priest or a monk. And I understood the priest thing, you know. But the monk, I didn't quite get it, because it didn't make sense to me, even though she explained it. And when you think about it, if you become zealous in the Lord and want to share your faith with as many, like you find Jesus Christ, and you want to get very serious about your walk, the Catholic Church says, shut up and be a monk. Literally, go someplace and be quiet and don't preach at all ever again. You know, it's obvious Satan tried to do that with Martin Luther. And then all of a sudden, you know, he came into his own, and the Lord blessed him. You know, he came into the truth that the Lord would have him do. But it's just strange how a lot of people don't seem to realize how bad it is out there. The Catholicism, they just bluntly attack the truth. But with the Protestant denominations, including the SDAs, the leaders, not the people, they do everything they can to keep the people in the pews. You know, that's it. That's their main concern. The 501c3 confirms it. They're more concerned with the cash than they are with the people. And as I've said before, I'm going to say again, you might be the only Bible some people read, and so do as 1 Peter 3:15 says to do, which is sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be always ready. Yeah, always be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And if you notice some of the comments that some of us are getting on our videos in regards to when we're trying to share with the precious Seventh-day Adventist people as to the danger therein, do you see any meekness and fear in some of their responses in regards to the truth we are documenting? I mean, it's not like we're making this stuff up. So pray for them. They've missed that part of this sanctification process. You know, they need to understand that they have to be ready to show us from the Bible how they're right. Because when you ask them, like even when you share 1 Peter 3:15, and this is not just SDAs, it's all of them. You know, because when they say, oh, you're wrong. Well, okay, fine. If I'm wrong, I definitely need help then. Could you please reveal to me from Scripture where I've messed up? And that's kind of like what Martin Luther was doing in his day. He says, look, I'll recant, no problem, if you just show me in the Bible where I messed up. And they wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You know, that's why free speech is good. You know, I had no issue whatsoever. I don't know how many years ago I started the free speech page, because we know how close we are to the end, right? And so I figure I'll better get that page up there, because they're going to start pushing free speech, removing it, right? And sure enough, they started doing it. Not because I'm a prophet, but because the Bible's clear. They can't stand the truth. They can't rebuke it. They can't refute it. And so the only thing that they can do is shut you up so as they can continue on in their, you know, in their sinfulness. But sadly, as we see far too often, souls that come into his word and drink of the milk have a tendency to remain only on the milk, though. I mean, their study never brings them to the meat, because they become complacent with just a smattering of truth by skimming through the Bible as if it's a chore instead of a meal. I mean, that's the reason Paul said what he did in Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14, which was, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you know, because they've been in the Word for a while, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat, For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, we must never let our light grow dim, brothers and sisters. We need to keep trimming that lamp so as to see the path before us, especially now, because like we were talking about this last night, the devil knows his time is short. We know Jesus is coming soon, very soon. And so the devil's been watching you since you were born. You know, just as much as we have the angel that has been assigned to us to minister unto us, you know, a lot of people call them guardian angels. So we've been a target for a long time. It's that holy war, the great controversy thing, you know, where Satan wants us, but so does Christ. And so Satan sends his angels and Christ sends his. And we got to keep the lamp trim. We got to stay in the Bible daily because all those things that the enemy of souls has tempted you or lured you towards to where it enticed your flesh and he built on it to where it locks it in a little bit too tight. And then, of course, you find Christ and, you know, you overcome those areas. He stacks that stuff up. He knows you're weak here. He knows you're weak there. He knows you're weak here. He knows you're weak there. And so when the time comes, especially right before the plagues, you know, because it's going to be useless for him to even try it after the plagues. The Gideon band ain't going to fall for that falderal. But before the plagues, he's going to bring out the big guns, and they're going to be loaded with all this garbage that he's had on you for decades. And you got to be prepared to handle that stuff. And the only way to do it is to keep that light well lit, you know, to keep that lamp burning bright so you can see the path. Because once the path grows dim, the dark path is easier to see. So, I mean, it's just common sense. And so we need to keep that lamp trimmed. Christ cannot use you or any of us to do the work if we stay in the milk. Seriously, when was the last time you saw a baby working a 9-to-5 or on a pulpit? Yeah, you see them in Pentecostal churches, but that doesn't mean anything. They take that statement out of context about out of the mouths of babes. But just as the baby needs to grow up into all things, students of the Bible need to grow up into him in all things, as Ephesians 4:15 said. I mean, you have to grow up to be able to put forth his light onto all he sends your way. And so, if you lack in anything in life, study his word more diligently so as to go forth speaking the truth in love, as Paul said in Ephesians in that same verse. That candlestick proves we cannot put anything in front of it. Because that'll just dim it out, right? You put Satan before any idol, anything. And so it has to do as it was designed to do. The Bible has to do, and that's, you know, to shine forth in truth if we are faithfully studying in the morning and the evening. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 14 and 15, he says that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Think about that. He's calling you the light of the world. He needs your help. Think about that. The creator of all that is seen and unseen is giving you a job to do. I mean, wow. You know, and I was talking about that last night in regards to how when you go into Revelation, because that's where I'm at now in my own private studies as well as other areas, you'll notice when the plagues are being initiated, if you will, and the trumpets are starting to blow, the angel with the censer comes forward and it gets well lit and he brings it before the Father in all this. In other words, we have somewhat of a say-so in all that's going on down here, including with the trumpets. Not so much that we could change anything that's happening. It's just a vindication onto the truth as it has been presented, because that censer represents our prayers, because the incense is in there. Yeah, that represents our prayers, as we learned earlier in the sanctuary service. And so we have a part in all that's happening, in the investigated judgment right down to the second coming of Christ, because he just keeps us as part of the loop. I mean, all the work. I mean, that's why he says, ye are the light of the world. He's given the work to us. I mean, the light within us is not only evidence of our understanding what his will is for us, as well as the fact that we are walking in it. It's also an open declaration from heaven itself that we have been called to go forth with a holy purpose. We are sanctified, brothers and sisters. In other words, every Christian that comes to Christ, who studies and then grows in His Word, are called to be bearers of the light of Christ unto all the world. And what better time to understand that than in these last days when nearly everyone we meet are shrouded in darkness? And especially those of us that came out of intense sin. What a testimony. You know, even if you got tattoos before and you got them now, as a saved individual, what a testimony. You can say, hey, look at these. This is where I came from. I abhor this, but it's stuck on me. But it's an opportunity for me to share it with you and relate, you know, whatever. Whatever the case may be. Now let's look at some parts of the candlestick, if you will. Let me see how far I'm going to go into this, because I think we covered some of this last week. Yeah, we did, but I'm not going to go into that kind of detail. Maybe I'll run by it. But the candlestick or the lampstand, as many call it to this day, because it's huge. But let me see if I can find that picture here really quick. I got the link. Wait, I got to open it. It's Word Perfect. Doesn't want to edit. Okay, let's just do that. Ooh, boy, that's a huge URL. So, yeah, there's security in it. It's probably not going to go. So let me try opening it up in a separate browser and pull the security out of it. Hold on, because it's not going to go in the room. I know that. I'll take that out. And it's a gift, too, so it probably might not show up in the room. If it doesn't, I'll put the link in there. Okay, it's not even showing up without... Oh, there it is. Okay, it took a while to show up because my internet's slow, but prayerfully next week it won't be. It's a tiny pic, so it might show up in the room here. Oh, there, good, it did. All right, and for those of you on the stream, there's the link. I took the security out already, so if you want to post that in the stream for those that are listening on YouTube, look at how big that thing is. I mean, I don't think that's a complete accurate picture of how it really was. I mean, it looks to me like the certain things are carved in a way that's a little different from what that which is written, but the size is right. But for all intents and purposes, it's going to be for an easy way for me to explain things. Like you can see, it has the one main shaft, as we learned earlier, you know, that represents Christ, the middle shaft. And there are not six different branches. There are three different branches that run through the shaft, because it goes right through the shaft. But at the same time, there are six. But they can't be there without Christ in the middle anyway. And so these branches are identical, wherein they each have three bowls that were formed from, you know, from gold to appear as almonds. And that's why I'm saying it doesn't look quite like this picture doesn't. But it's the only one I could find that showed a facsimile as to the height of this thing. It just ain't no little candelabra at the end of some piano. You know, it's huge. I think it looks all of 6 foot tall. And as we learned earlier, there are nine ornaments in each branch. Okay. I would think the ornaments run down the shaft, where it looks like here they're all piled up there on the top of each shaft, which is fine. And the main shaft also had four bowls formed to look like almonds as well. And in all, the shaft and the branches had a total of 66 items or ornaments on them. And as we also learned earlier, under each – and by the way, the reason there's 66 items is for those of you that are new in the stream or on the radio is because there's 66 books in the Bible. Right, and so the Apocrypha, there's you know, biblical evidence that the Apocrypha is not to be in the Bible. It's not inspired of God. It's inspired of hell. It's inspired of Satan. I mean, if you look at the way some of the books actually glorify Catholicism, some crazy stuff in those books. So as we also learned earlier, under each of the branches was a knop, and so if you include the base and the candlestick and how it was all set up, and there's going to be a total of 70 ornaments to represent the 70 elders that the Lord ordained to do all the work all along, in fact. Because before the Lord sent the 70 out, there were 70 elders in the sanctuary doing the work anyway, or, you know, in the temple doing the work anyway. He always had that 70 there, the elders. And just so you know, this lampstand wasn't the type you see in the people's homes like a candelabra. It's huge. And I found that online. So it's about the same height as the priest, it looks like, to make it easier for him to light it. But like everything else in the sanctuary, this was specifically designed by our Lord, who told Moses in Exodus 25:40 that he should make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. And so it is wise that we look into everything found on this candlestick to see just what the Lord wanted us to see. And if and when I put this online, I'll put all of Exodus 25:31-40 in regards to this. But for the sake of time, I'm going to jump forward a little bit on this and just go into the fact that when we look at the candlestick, we also see how it represents Jesus Christ, who, as we know, is the light of the world. And stepping back a little bit, we see how we too must emulate our Lord to be the same light unto all those that he sends our way. But I mean, being obedient means his Holy Spirit will be within us, blessing us with all we need to share our faith. And yes, that's why there's oil in those bowls to light those, you know, because oil in prophecy is the Holy Spirit. And if the oil's not in you, there's no light from heaven. And even if you have, think about this too, even if you have no words to come to mind when you want to share your faith with somebody, because a lot of babes, and even myself, we all have those instances where, and I've seen this happen on both sides of the coin. And what I mean is, like, I have a certain message that I've had for 34 years in regards to exposing Antichrist. And so I've always had certain phrases and certain verses already in my mind. Not that they were memorized. It's just that I've done them and shared them so many times. They just come to mind easily. But there are times that I'm on the street that the Lord prevents me from remembering a verse for a specific reason. In the same way, he gives me a verse I never even memorized or couldn't memorize. Because of John 14:26 says he's going to bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever he said unto us, because the person that's standing in front of me needs to hear it. But sometimes a verse comes to mind that I want to share, and the Lord says, no, they're not ready to hear that. And so he pulls it out of my mind, and I can't remember it. So don't think you're lacking in any way, shape, or form in that respect. Sometimes he's going to prevent you from saying certain things because they're going to take it the wrong way. Or they're going to hit you with a question in a way that it's going to confuse the whole situation that you're not ready to respond to. And so he's protecting you even there. And so there are some people out there. Think about this, because especially in today's world, the love of many is waxed cold. And I'm still contemplating making a page about that, because every time I do my updates, there's always something. Somebody killing a loved one. It's just amazing how bad it's gotten out there. But there are some people out there that have come from broken families, which led them into crime, or some live in cities wherein daily attacks are upon them in dangerous areas, or some were simply bullied by classmates or beaten by parents. Some of these poor souls may never have experienced a loving gesture in their lives. And so your Christ-like demeanor could be the way our Heavenly Father uses you to give increase unto the seed, a Christian that came before you years ago, planted within them. You really never know how. See, that's why Titus 3:10 is so important. Give them two chances and walk away. It's not like you're being a jerk or nothing. It's that your way isn't working, or he only wanted you to plant two seeds because he's planning on sending some other guy 2-3 weeks or 2-3 years from now. Or a woman, or even a child to come forward and say something, because it will come out of the mouths of babes. But it's not they're going to preach a sermon. The kid might say something that'll bless their heart. And it'll make that seed gain increase, because that can only come from the Father. We can plant the seed, we can water the seed, but we can't give it the increase. I haven't seen a single farmer since moving out here that's ever been able to do anything but plant it and water it, and that's it. He can't give it any increase. So we truly never know the life stories and the experiences of the people that we meet, and so as Christians we need to act accordingly. The seven branches, and I'll close with this, the seven branches on that candlestick also shows how all the seven churches are called to go forth in every way possible to bring the light of Christ onto the world throughout all the ages. And that main center shaft especially represents our Lord walking among the candlesticks as John saw him in vision that day on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, did you ever notice that? Here the main shaft represents Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, you know, the candles. And then Revelation 1, verses 12 to 13 says this, because John is talking now, right? And he's writing this down, and he says, and I turned to see, because he heard a loud noise, a loud thunder, right? And he says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, because it was loud. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, just like you see here. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of God, or one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, just like you see the high priest, even though he's not properly identical here. But Jesus appeared unto John in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and so it is fitting that the main shaft is also in the midst of the candlestick in the holy place. I think that's pretty amazing. So the main shaft of the candlestick, or Jesus Christ himself, is there to uphold the churches as they go forth throughout history to do the work of the gospel. I mean, is it not written in Revelation 1:20 that the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And we're going to continue next week with how the number seven itself has a reason for being represented here and in the sanctuary study. And so with that, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.